bridge collapse. Maryland Governor Wes Moore says the large crane can lift up to 1,000 tons. It will be used to clear the channel in order to resume the search for four workers who remain missing and reopen the key shipping route. This is SRN News.
Biden has started tracking Christians like cattle. Yes, you heard it right. He pressured banks to tag transactions for certain keywords. One of them is Holy Bible. That's a horrifying and creepy attack on our religious freedoms. It's made possible by a digital financial system that makes you a sitting duck. But you do have other options. I recommend a physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. I'm Lance Wallnau, a news analyst, a best-selling author, and evangelical leader to people who cherish their financial independence. A precious metals IRA can help you avoid the scrutiny of Biden's anti-Christian bureaucracy while also preserving your retirement savings. To find out more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see how a gold IRA can help you. Text FAITH to 989898. There are no strings attached. So text FAITH to the number 989898 right now and take action to protect your own prosperity.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by Clark Heating, Air, and Plumbing. It's time to get your cooling system ready for the long, hot summer. Call today about the advantages of the Clark Club membership to be sure you're covered. Call 277-2125. Better call Clark. Alabama certification number 09098.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Timing is everything, and the timing for this string of beautiful weather just in time for the Easter weekend couldn't be better. Sunshine today on this Good Friday with a high temperature up to about 74, so very comfortable. Partly cloudy, a little cool tonight, overnight low in the mid-40s. The warm-up continues tomorrow. Saturday's high 79, 83 on Easter Sunday. Abundant sunshine, just about a perfect forecast. And then mid-80s with partial sunshine. Still dry Monday, the risk of showers and storms holding off till Tuesday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
CBNS Bank has a long history of stability and a legacy of serving our community's needs for generations since we began in 1906. At CBNS Bank, we're here for you. All loans subject to credit approval, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
1819 News.
Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall is joining 10 other states in filing a lawsuit against the Biden administration for a plan to cancel out student loan debt. The lawsuit was filed this past Thursday, with the state of Kansas leading the way in this effort. The lawsuit claims that the SAVE plan coming from the Biden administration is just as illegal as the first attempt was made to cancel student loan debt, and that first attempt was recently struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach says the Biden administration is being brazen in their push to enact the SAVE plan, despite the ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. Kobach says that the law simply does not allow the Biden administration to cancel or radically restructure student loan debt without the involvement of Congress. I'll be back with more Alabama stories after this.
Where I was living was not a great place to live anymore. I began to pray for a place to go, praying for all of these things that a 9-year-old would want. I wanted horses, big house with a bunch of people my age. I wanted parents. I wanted a mom and a dad. Before I even prayed it, the Lord had already answered my prayer with the Big Oak Ranch. Who would that 9-year-old be if she never came to the Big Oak Ranch? I would be trying to fight for survival instead of fighting to break a cycle.
Big Oak Ranch, a Christian home for children needing a chance.
A search continues in Walton County, Florida, after the head football coach from Sylacauga went missing while kayaking in the Gulf waters. Chris Smelly was in a blue and black kayak that launched from Grayton Beach on Thursday morning. Smelly never returned from that trip. The U.S. Coast Guard out of Mobile is now involved in this search. The identity of a man found dead in Florence is now public. 44-year-old Justin Tidwell was discovered at a Budget Inn last weekend. The Alabama Department of Forensic Sciences performed an autopsy and identified the body. The cause of death is yet to be determined. I'm Andrea Tice.
For more news affecting Alabamians, go to 1819news.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the daily newsletter.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. It's time for Montgomery's Conversational Radio Show. It's news and views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
Say that again?
I said our futures are super bright. That's why we have these glasses.
Right, right. That's what people say. I mean, are we good on this Good Friday?
Oh, yeah, terrific. I love Good Friday.
I think I'm good. And so you already bought one, right? Let's get our Trump Bible out. And
got to get three. Got to get a total of three.
We're going to get three?
Yeah. I was hoping I'd get a discount. But
did you actually get to order the Trump Bible?
Yeah. I got my friend in Jamaica, when I talked to him about it kind of jokingly, he took it very seriously, and he is honored that I'm going to get him this. So, who am I to say no now?
Tell him Wagwan.
Wait, you're actually getting him?
Yeah.
See, we put out a short clip, and people have lost their minds about the Trump Bible. Like, this man's a grifter.
Yeah, am I missing something, Craig? Is it a bad thing?
I mean, it's a strange thing. I would not personally get one because I don't personally take him seriously in that as a Christian, and I hate to say that, but I just don't.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, whenever he was asked what his favorite Bible verse was, he kind of, I mean, it seems like his ascension to Christian values has always been a bit pandering to me.
Yeah, by convenience.
Yeah, but then again, I mean, but the people complaining that they're selling a Bible, it's like,
that's the part I don't quite get. It's a Bible. At the end of the day, it's a Bible.
Yeah. By the way, I haven't actually looked that much into it. Is there anything unique about it, or is it just...
It's a leather case. Binding and cover with an American flag kind of etched on the bottom.
Oh, I despise that.
Okay.
Like, if you attach an American flag to a Bible, I loathe that.
And it comes with the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence contained in there, and handwritten lyrics of God Bless America by Lee Greenwood himself.
So there's a bit pandering.
All for $60. Mm.
Is it leather or sheepskin? I prefer sheepskin with my...
Got to be honest, I think it's pleather, but they advertise
it. Yeah. Okay, see, that's the worst thing of all.
That's what I'm really worried is going to be pleather.
It's either sheepskin or nothing for the kid.
Yeah.
I have a blue-dyed sheepskin Bible that I'm very much fond of, but I typically do all of my reading on an iPad anyway because I like to... when you have like a Cordance Bible software, you can have the Greek text to the right, and then and then the English text to the left, and you can make comparisons. It's really easy for learning. But I do like the sheepskin, the feel of it. It's just a nice leather Bible. Well, sheepskin.
Yeah, the sheep or lambskin or whatever it is. Yeah, like that's the inside of my boots. That's how manly I am, Eddie.
By the way, I did not realize how Fairy expensive ribbons. Some people can get with the boots. It's insane.
Dude,
It's nuts. Like, I have a buddy. He's a terrific electrician, but he has these boots, and it has like silver on the tip of them.
And they're like they're cowboy boots.
Cowboy boots, and they are stylish. But I couldn't justify spending that amount of money on a nice pair of boots.
Yeah, like I mean, these I got on my feet weren't cheap, but still like under $500, right?
And it's not bad for lift shoes.
I don't know what to do with you today. Like, this guy sitting at the kitchenette table is like, you know, I have a tolerance for pain. And then, as he's putting up the little curtain up there, he is like, oh no, a staple. Owie. Ouch. Owie, a staple hit my finger. Owie.
It poked right through. Sure did. Where I had previously had a splinter.
But it's just funny because you're like, I have a tolerance for pain.
Strange tolerance for pain.
With the finger, I tell you, the worst pain that I've experienced that wasn't serious was in my former years using needles every once in a while. One of the needles got bent, and then when you go to put the cap back on,
ooh,
if it's bent, it can sometimes go through the cap, mm-hmm, and so I had my thumb in it went straight through, and that was a shock and a half.
That's how the conversation got started. Like, I was first cut of the year, the lawn, and it's just one of those push mowers with the latch that you push, mm-hmm, and I thought I had it all together. I didn't know. My thumb got caught between two of them. And I would almost rip my freaking thumbnail off.
Can't you tell by that little blue thing he's got there?
Is it a blood blister?
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah, those aren't fun.
Yeah, and, you know, it could have been a lot worse. It got me thinking about injuries that aren't really life-threatening, but hurt more than anything else.
What is the most painful physical thing you've ever experienced?
Ooh. That's tough to know. Because you've tried to forget pain.
I live there.
No, it might be the scar I have on my middle finger here. I got that when I was 5. Apple slicer.
Ooh.
Like, and so that was... when it happened, it wasn't painful because you're just in so much shock with adrenaline.
Yeah.
But when they had to do the local anesthetic, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, the anesthetic often hurts worse than the wound itself.
Right. Right.
What about you, Eddie?
I don't know of any particular one, but I'm like you. I live in a world of pain. I grew up on motorcycles, so it... Yeah.
Have you ever broken a bone? See, I've never broken a bone.
I think I've broken most.
Oh, really?
Most bones, yeah. Arms, legs, fingers, hands, wrists, tendons, gone.
I've never broken a significant limb, just like toes and my nose and stuff like that. That's why the nose is like super bendy.
I got one of them. Strangest thing was a friend of mine, Charlie Shaddix, we were playing on the tire swing, and you know how you'd wind it up and come down? Well, we were doing that, you know, because we're dumb, and then he pushed me, and so I was swinging, and I went into a tree. And that was the first time I ever got knocked unconscious.
Ooh.
And I remember literally standing there, and it looked like 50,000 people were coming to me. It was just two people there.
Now, I've been hit really hard. Like, I've been knocked unconscious once, and it was our coach was playing with us on the basketball court. Oh. And this guy's no joke. JR knows who he is. JR was a star quarterback at ASU. He was still an athlete when he was coaching us. And we were both going for a errant pass in the middle of the court. And I think at that time, I weighed like a buck 40 something. Yeah. And JR was definitely over 200. And like, when we collided, the next thing I remember is like everybody looking at me.
Yeah,
looking down at me. And he's like, and JR to his credit, you okay, man? I'm so sorry. And like, what a great guy. But, you know, there are some hits in football where when you get hit, it's a shock, doesn't hurt. And I remember getting up from one. It was kind of a crackback block when I'm a scrub linebacker. I couldn't talk.
Oh,
I'm
like,
no, I'm fine. Oh, yeah. I'm fine, guys. It's just a kidney's burst.
Give me a second.
I got another one.
It's a terrifying when you get the wind knocked out of you. Like, and you're like, okay, is it ever going to come back?
Yeah.
Any day now.
What's the most painful thing you've been through?
Oh, well, that's an easy answer for me. It's when I broke my toe. We were playing this, like, massive tag in the middle of winter in Michigan in a church. So it was pretty cold, and I was running full speed down the hallway of the sanctuary, and I kicked a wooden pew while I was running and broke my toe.
Did that toe leave out of the back of your foot?
No, but it swelled up to about the size of my head. Ooh. And it was one of those things where you're like, all right, I'm going to have a psychological breakdown because of the amount of pain that I'm experiencing.
Yeah. It's always the extremities. It's like the fingernails and the fingers and your toes and
I've been cut pretty significantly before, and that's not too bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But like the fingers and the toes, for some reason, they kill. I've never broken like an arm. I actually broke my nose twice. One was from my uncle when I was like 7. We were playing dodgeball, and he turned around. And I was right behind him, and John Jones me right in the nose. And this was when I was actually in like a private school, and so I was in school for like a week breathing like... And the teacher's like, are you okay?
I'm
like,
deviated septum.
Right.
Like, we know what you did in China. We know what you did. No, that's not that. I swear it's not that. But yeah, it's, if you can tell, folks, it's Friday. And like I looked at the news today, and it's like, yeah, more of the same BS. Actually, the most painful thing I think I do ever been through is when I wake up in the morning. Yeah. And I read the news.
If you go through Twitter first thing in the morning, you're just setting yourself up for a bad day.
But I found this story, and this is goes back years now, but a recent CNN headline reads this. It's about a bus carrying some folks in South Africa. It killed 45 people because it fell off a cliff. So if a bus goes off a cliff, you probably are going to die. But they refer to the people in the bus. I'll just read the headline now. 45 people killed as a bus carrying Easter worshippers falls off a cliff in South Africa. 12 years of Catholic school, I've never heard of Easter worshippers. I've hung around other Christians and denominations. I've never heard Easter worshippers.
Is that worshippers of the goddess Easter, or?
I don't know where that comes from.
And were they just doing like some sort of special like Good Friday service? I don't know.
Well, the term was previously used in 2019 with Islamic extremist murders, dozens of Christians during Easter celebrations in Sri Lanka. At that time, former President Barack Obama also used the term Easter worshippers in response to that attack. The attacks on tourists and Easter worshippers in Sri Lanka are an attack on humanity. Then Hillary Clinton came out and said essentially the same exact thing. I'm like, is this the new term to avoid saying Christian?
I guess so.
I guess. Although there are plenty of Christians that only go to church on like Christmas and Easter. So.
Yeah, I know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know about that.
Bad Catholic.
No, it was, for me, it was more like, well, my mom wants to go, and it's like, sure, I'll go with you. I get pulled in by family. It's like, well, I really do love you, so I'll do what you want. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I'm still that little kid, I suppose. But yeah, that one caught me off guarded, where I'm not even upset. I'm just confused. At like, are we just coming up with new terms for Christians all of a sudden as we continue to redefine that? Now, inflation has ticked up in February. In the gauge preferred by the Federal Reserve, I believe that's core inflation. But, you know, what a shock. Inflation ticked up a 2.5% annual rate on February as measured by the gauge favored by the Federal Reserve, rising 0.1 percentage point from the previous reading. The uptick in the personal consumption expenditures price index reported Friday morning by the Bureau of Economic Analysis is unwelcome news for the president and for the Federal Reserve. And, you know, all these folks are hoping for rate cuts later in the year, so it'll all go gangbusters. But one thing that's fascinating, who would have thunk that a simple manipulated statistic, the CPI, could affect so much? People need to pay more attention to it because it's not just something people put in news articles and headlines. If you're on Social Security, if you're on any sort of benefits, your cost of living increases, if they're ever allowed, are all based off the CPI. What the government's going to do in terms of policy is all based off the CPI. And wouldn't you know it, they constantly are manipulating the CPI so the government gets to be cheap while they steal from everybody else through inflation.
No, you don't mean it.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I find myself, am I wrong whether I bring in the senators again? Like, I've talked to both Britt and Tuberville recently. I'm sure we're going to have Dick Brubaker and Caroline Dobson on next week. You know, we talked to Reed Ingram this week, Will Barfoot this week. I'm tempted, especially, though, ask the federal people, like, how is the U.S. government still considered legitimate on a moral and constitutional basis? You work for them.
That's a good question.
Because I don't see it. I don't see where in the Constitution do they allow the federal? Oh, well, they did amend it, I suppose, to allow for the Federal Reserve. Right. And so I'm at a point where we can talk about the issues people care about. It's funny how the number one issues people care about are what the cable news networks continue to blast out every day. Mm-hmm. The right cares about immigration. The left cares about preserving our democracy. It's almost like we don't actually think.
No, I mean, it's a bit of a switcheroo too. It's like, oh, you have to, and the right does it as well as the left, where they say, hey, look at this issue, while under the table they are continuing to spend money like a sailor new at port, and meanwhile just continue to overinflate not just our currency but our institutions as well. Everything grows, nothing shrinks. It's not, this isn't a deflationary system that we have, because I mean, the amount of debt that we have is almost comical at this point, and it still doesn't seem to have crashed anything yet. So they're like, how far can we push it? Come on, let's keep going. More debt, more spending, more everything.
And that's why I think the United States needs its very own Javier Milei. Did you see that he plans now to fire 70,000 government workers in the coming months?
I'll say that again.
70,000 government workers. And what Bloomberg called, quote, one of the clearest signs yet of how the libertarians' chainsaw-style approach, ooh, I need to take a cold shower, intends to slash the swollen, indeed, state. Beyond the job cuts, Milei also boasted at an event on Tuesday that he has frozen public works, cut off some funding to provincial governments, and terminated more than 200,000 social welfare plans, which he labeled as corrupt, all as part of a strategy to reach a fiscal balance at any cost this year. There's a lot of blender, Milei said in an hour-long speech, referring to the erosion of wages and pensions by 276% annual inflation. Holy moly, says there's a lot more chainsaw. Other key points from his speech. Milei said peso futures contracts are aligned with the central bank's 2% monthly crawling peg scheme. I mean, yeah, and nobody cares about that.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about that. But what I love is that Milei has actually not become a squish once he's actually gotten into office and into power. Yeah. And he's fighting back despite others pushing back.
I'm surprised he's still there.
Yeah, and he seems to be doing it in a very tactical way. It's not... It's gradual, and I mean, obviously, it wasn't his first day in office like old Vivek promised, but he's getting stuff done, and it's amazing to see this resurgence of social and moral responsibility in South America. I think, I think they've had it so bad for so long that they're finally calling on leaders to actually get stuff done. Now, obviously, Milei's dealing with completely different things than homeboy in El Salvador, whose name I can never remember.
Kule.
Yeah, thank you. They're obviously facing different problems, but South America has been a disaster zone for the longest time, and I think they're also seeing the attempts of communist influence in South America, which is pretty prevalent, especially from the Chinese Communist Party and even Russia. And I think they're trying to get ahead of that, get ahead of the curve, because there are places, there are literally places in South America that are literally just money laundering schemes for the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, and then Milei did go on to say when the Argentinian Senate rejected his emergency decree, he called it marvelous because it left all the dirty fingers of exposed politicians he calls delinquents apparent all. All right. Keep
really
talking
does have
that
the
way.
Gift of gab, doesn't he?
And yeah, he's like a hardcore punk rock,
very hardcore,
like economist. Mm-hmm. Like it's a weird combination, and like essentially an anarchist libertarian to boot. So I love the guy.
And the best thing about him is he's legitimately pissed off. Like it's not an act. Not like an Alex Jones kind of rage acting from time to time.
I love the pain.
But he's legitimately angry, and he was legitimately angry, and that's what motivated him to run. And the fact that he won is still incredible to me.
Let's go to East of the Rockies. Hey, East, good to hear from you. Happy
Easter. Hey, how you doing? It's good to hear from all you guys. Hey, look, I don't know if you remember, there was this guy that used to be on the radio named Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to say this. He'd say, words mean things. And I really took that to heart because, how we communicate makes a big difference. So in the book of Acts, the New Testament records that believers in Jesus were first called Christians in Antioch in Syria, okay? And so Christians was a derogatory by the Roman authorities saying, well, these guys are just walking around trying to act like little Jesuses. So that's what Christian effectively meant, was little Christ. And you know what? I'll take it. I mean, you know, if you want to call me that, but don't change the name of my faith to Easter worshipers. Like, you know, like I'm caught in a back room with chocolate smeared all over my face, you know? If I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. And, I want to own that. But words mean things. And so I appreciate you guys bringing that up.
Sure. Sure. And it's just strange. Like, I guess it is a way to say something without saying it. Because if Christians maybe had solidarity across the globe, I was talking with somebody last night saying that I think a unity of all Christians worldwide is possible. It wouldn't be under like a hierarchy where we got a new pope or something. But I think there's already been work done, ecumenical work on, okay, what are the basic things we agree on? And then I would say, what are some practical projects we can work on? It's why places like you saw with these mountain gateway pastors arrested in Nicaragua, now sentenced to like 2 decades in prison, $80 million fine. Yes, Christianity, for better or for worse, is a very big threat to a lot of established authorities. So it's beautiful to see it growing in China. I think the largest is in Korea, South Korea right now. I think that is one of the largest Christian populations.
I would probably think China, honestly.
Okay. Yeah, and so can you imagine, look at the politics and look how crazy where it's going, that you could have essentially billions of people across nation lines having something in common with one another. And I think that's a change for good.
But Joey, you're right, and it's not going to be administrative.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you're talking to a guy that enjoys a lot of that. I get together with people from all kinds of different denominations. And it's not that I'm down with all of the little idiosyncrasies and the foibles that they have, but I just simply love them because they love Christ. And that's, you know, so yeah, words mean things, and you guys are on target. So have a great Easter, if you want to call it that, and we'll catch up with you in April. How's that sound?
Appreciate it. And we got to hit a break. More news and views in the afternoon. I got to take these sunglasses off. It's driving me nuts. We'll be right back.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hey, this is Randy and Tammy Burkhalter at Prattville Farm Center.
Hey, Randy, tell me about those hot chicks I've been hearing about.
Now, Tammy, I don't know any since we got married.
No, Randy, the baby chicks.
Oh, yeah, we're getting Rhode Island Reds, Americanas, Buff Orpingtons, and about 6 other different varieties.
Plus ducks, turkeys, geese, and guineas.
Hey, and raising chickens is a great family project.
And you get to look forward to fresh eggs.
Visit Prattville Farm Center at 1154 South Memorial Drive and pick up your hot chicks today.
In Alabama, more than 200,000 of our family members and friends are living without health coverage. Often folks can't stay healthy enough to keep their jobs. We need to fix this. It's time for us to find a way to close the health care coverage gap so that folks can remain in their jobs. Where there's a priority out there, we as Alabamians have always found a way to achieve it. Contact Governor Kay Ivey and let her know. Now is the time to close the coverage gap and cover Alabama.
Paid for by the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-457-6060. That's 1-800-457-6060. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-457-6060. That's 1-800-457-6060.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
For too long, Alabama's statewide news companies have shamed us for our conservative Christian values. Alabama deserves a news company that cherishes our culture, a company that isn't bought and paid for by the powers that be. 1819 News is that company. Run by Alabamians for Alabamians, 1819 News celebrates what is good and beautiful about our state while exposing those who work against our values in secret. Just go to 1819news.com to learn more. Subscribe to our newsletter. That's 1819news.com.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Joey Clark.
Fascinating poll. I've gotten to where I like looking at certain polls, especially ones that aren't conditioned by the polls, that aren't just about Trump and Biden and the presidential election, but more of these general surveys that you see out there in the world. And there's a new one from YouGov. A new YouGov poll revealed that 22% of Americans believe it is very likely that there will be another world war within the next 5 to 10 years. 39% say it's somewhat likely. Wow. That's a pretty strong majority there, thinking, well, it could happen. Broken down politically, 1/3 of Republicans believe it's very likely that there will be another world war in the next decade. 20% of independents and 16% of Democrats agree with that statement. Why do the Democrats, are they this blind to how crumbling our institutions have become? Yes.
Oh, 100%. Without question.
Like, it's not Trump, guys. Like, Trump is the symptom of the underlying problem, fellas.
He's the devil.
Yeah, look at what he's doing to the Bible.
Right? See, people are feeling that way.
Seriously. I haven't gotten that much online reaction in a while. It was interesting to watch.
Really?
Yeah, there are a lot of folks upset. Others like, I can't wait to buy it. Like, it's interesting how he gets people going. But despite the United States and its NATO allies depleting their military supplies at breakneck pace in a proxy war against Russia and Ukraine, and Moscow displaying fearsome offensive powers, you know, watch out for the summer. Americans still remain optimistic over any hypothetical war against Russia and China. If there were a world war in which the U.S. and their allies were fighting against Russia, China, or both, Americans are more likely to say that the NATO member states would win than to say they would lose. So we still believe in our military prowess.
We have to.
However, the patriotic optimism quickly fades in the hypothetical scenario that pits both China and Russia and their allies against Western nations and their allies in a world war. Just 45% of Americans say the Western nations would emerge victorious, while 55% are of the opinion that a coalition made up of Moscow, Beijing, and their allies would win. In a similar YouGov survey conducted in the UK, just 21% of British adults believe that Western forces would lose to China, Russia, and their allies in the event of a world war. Shockingly, if a global conflagration involving the United States were to break out, just 6% of Americans say they would enlist for military service, while 9% say they would not volunteer but would serve if called. And 13% say they would not volunteer and would refuse to serve if called. Meanwhile, a whopping 60% say the armed forces would not attempt to draft them due to age or disability. But that first number, 6% of Americans say they would enlist for military service in the event of world war.
Wow.
This is what I mean by crumbling institutions. Right, yeah, it's not just buildings or, you know, the ones
a lot of them are looking at the military, and whereas my generation looked at the military as an option and a chance to serve, I think now they look at the military and say, I don't want no part of that.
Yep.
Well, and you look at some people, you're like, can you run a remote control? Like, yeah. I guess, yeah. Well, if you're creating the next generation's military, a lot of it might be drone technology, so that guy who has been playing video games into his 40s might still be useful.
Sure, but that,
behind a controller.
Get that guy off the couch to come to basic training.
Right. Yeah. But you got to wonder what is going to be the... Because like in World War II, Americans, like the hobby for young American men was essentially doing work on cars. Yeah. Like everybody was sort of a minor mechanic.
Right.
So with the Abrams tanks, they were very modular, easy to work on.
Yep.
And so on in theater, they were coming up with all sorts of new inventions. The actual troops were able to fix them up if anything broke down. So if you take, well, we're not, there's still a car culture in the United States, but there's a huge video gaming culture.
Yeah.
So how could you make that work for the military? And but yeah, the more I think about the prospect of world war, I'm like, how do you keep the nuclear bottle, mm-hmm. you know, right. stopped up? And
you can't. Like, you can't. Like, there's not going to be an ultimate victory, even if there was such a conflict. It's impossible to have an ultimate victory the way that there was, say, in World War II, because right. now everyone has that technology.
Right, and
it's either total global destruction or some sort of stalemate. Those are the only two options.
And either we don't use them, or we're probably going towards Armageddon. The idea that somebody's going to use a nuke and then that's going to be it, I don't see it. I think most of the war games lead to mass destruction.
Once one goes off, it's game over. Mm-hmm. Like, and unless you can. Unless it can be done, I guess I would say there have to be, either one side would have to strategically detonate multiple such devices at strategic locations in order to neutralize the threat of reprisal. If that could be done, then you would be successful. One side would be successful, but I don't see that happening. It's game over.
Well, and some have suggested, let's do an above ground test again, film it with our modern tech, and just show folks this is what we have.
Yeah, give them the reminder.
Because, I mean, you can still go watch what the one that always catches me off guard is the Bikini Atoll test.
Yeah. Yes.
But when you see a mushroom cloud, folks, that stem is like a vacuum.
Yeah.
Think of it that way. It's like it is sucking everything up to where it's buildings, people, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And its path is going up into the cloud. So it's just horrifying. And I feel like the cavalier nature at which it seems our political authorities are playing with fire here is what makes me incredibly nervous.
Yeah, but I think, I don't care what sort of maniac you are, that's not an option you want to pull out, which is why it hasn't happened, since World War II. It's happened, it was one and done, well, technically two and done, but you know what I mean. It was, that was it. And we haven't done it since. And I don't see that as being our future, because I think there's too many people that, I don't see that happening.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I don't see some sort of cold to warm world war happening, but I don't see like a full-scale third world war, open conflict between nations. Like that's a little bit much for me to, because I mean that would go against everything that China and Russia have been trying to do for the past several decades, which is to grow economically,
right?
And they don't want that.
It all takes is a mistake, though.
Yeah,
one mistake
or a false flag,
right? You know? Exactly. Let's go to T-Spear. Hey, T-Spear.
Hey there, and I'm going to talk to it from a mother's perspective. First of all, years ago, in spite of who was president at the time, I was honored to have my 16-year-old son say, "Mom, I'm going in the Marines." And I signed his papers when he was barely 17 years old, so that he could go in. It's what he wanted, and it was what, as Marines understand only too well, "Mom, it's not what I want to do. It's what I have to do." There are kids that are called to that that's what they have to do. But when I look at war today and the scenario of today, there's no way in hell I would have signed those papers.
Mm-hmm.
No way that I would sign those papers for my child today. When I look at the situation, and it's not just the situation with an absolute idiot in the White House being manipulated by somebody in the background. It is the fact that we're not paying attention to what's going on. We're not allowing our young men and women to go out, do the job that they volunteered to do, and do it successfully. We're not giving them the materials that they need to finish the job. We're not giving them the skills that they need to learn how to resolve something peacefully. You don't take Taekwondo to learn how to beat the snot out of somebody.
Right.
You take it to learn how not to have to do that. But when you do, to do it effectively. And this current administration, above all others, has taken the right of our military and our police officers and our other defense forces away from us to be able to do the job that we trained to do. It is absolutely abhorrent as to what our people have allowed this country to be. And until we get back to a point that we all understand that war is not about seeing who has the most toys. War is seeing how we can actually bring peace to the world. And there is no peace in this world today. We look at our southern border. We look at the number of invaders that have been allowed to come into this country. And we have a current government that is absolutely feeding a situation that I fear will come between now and November.
Well, I appreciate the call,
and
Teaster.
I don't think I'm the only one.
No, you're not.
I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that I'm wrong. May God rise again on Sunday. May peace be with every one of you. May peace be within everyone's heart. Thank you guys for allowing me to rant today.
Thank you, T-Spear.
Thank you, T-Spear.
2729228. Even with under the imminent threat of invasion, 26%, only 26% of Americans would volunteer for non-combat service.
Yeah, I think that's kind of low. I think, for one, the reality is not true. Look at what happened after 9/11.
Well, people don't understand what it's actually like to be under siege. Right. No, even I, who I could criticize, say, U.S. government war policy, all the cows come home, all that. But, no, if we're actually being invaded, yeah, it's time to stand up.
For 9/11,
I will say that that's kind of the problem is that the United States has, for the longest time, abused the patriotic sentiments of its 100%. Young men by sending them off to act not in defense of God and country, but to act in defense of corporate interests or the interests of whatever oligarchs have domineering ideologies. And so now you have people that have the benefit of posterity that can look at Vietnam, they can look at even Korea, they can look at Iraq, they can look at Afghanistan, they can look at Syria, they can look at Lebanon, and they're just like, nope, not me.
I'm not going to
have history look back at me the same way that they look at those actions. And while in the micro, the individual actions of the soldiers can be seen as noble or ignoble, while you can look at individual actions in the macro on a global scale, those conflicts have destabilized the planet and made the planet a less safe place objectively, by the way.
No, and it does. People keep asking, you know, because we're all men in here. Actually, y'all thought about the Roman Empire this week.
Several.
Yeah,
because
I just started a Will Durant's Age of Faith, which is right. It starts with Constantine bequeathing to his sons and kind of breaking things up. It's like, not the right move, man. But yeah, so are we Rome, like at the end of the empire, to where they're so, it's, at least in the Western Empire? I'm not counting Byzantium, but if. Where they essentially just let the barbarians run roughshod over them?
I think we're in the Nero stage of the Roman Empire. I think that's where we are, where it's debauchery and flippant acts of concupiscence. And
or the other option could be we're at the end of the Roman Republic and you're about to get a Caesar Augustus.
Well, I mean, you could kind of say that that's what's happened in El Salvador.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're not empirical the way that America is, but they, I mean, if ever there's an Augustus figure in the world right now.
Right. Well, and the things I wouldn't have believed or ever thought I would have believed years ago is one point I've come to when it comes to government is I think you can have liberty in pretty much any system of government. Mm-hmm. It could be a government of the many, especially like a... I'd imagine a small commune can work. Mm-hmm. Like a small, like we work together, we take care of each other. Yeah, and everybody's equal, and that can work. I think oligarchy can work. Heck, it worked for most of this nation's history. But I think you can even have freedom where it's essentially a king. But also, all of those can lead to tyranny as well. Mm-hmm. I think this idea that democracy never has a tyrannical aspects to it. You'll never get tyranny under if the professional, well-educated elites are running things. And I think that's just an excuse, and it's ignorant.
Democracy, I think, can lead to the worst kinds of tyranny because, like, essentially, morons can strip away your rights just by mob rule.
All right, just watch The View.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. I mean, and so, yeah, whereas if you have what I would call like a social covenant in a micro scale, which is why I think all politics should be local.
Yes.
Then it's far easier to maintain liberty under that system because you are consensually coming into an agreement with the community under certain restrictions. And as soon as someone attempts to disturb that covenantal aspect of a community, then the threat of violence comes in.
Right.
And that's the only thing that keeps power in check is the threat of physical violence, which you don't necessarily have because people see the government as being far too large and far too federalized and centralized, and also the populace has been both disarmed and gelded. And I think that plays a little bit into the lack of desire for people to join up.
Isn't it like, is it a, well, I got to hit a break, but what I'm wondering is like, is the, how civilized we've become, or some might say soft we've become, is that, some say like Edward Gibbon, the fall of Rome is because Christianity is spreading and sort of taking down these ideals and replacing them with more Christian ones. But part of me thinks, no, you can look at early parts of this country and still pretty violent, even with good values behind it. We're still pretty rough people.
Look at what happened in the Crusades.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, by the way, I'm actually quite fond of the Crusades as a historical event and the ideology that was behind it. I would highly recommend that people read what's his name? Oh, gosh. I'll have it after the break. But where you see these heroes of the Christian faith who were both very much in tune with their spiritual side, but also realized that in this corporeal existence that we have, violence must of occasions be used. King David, obviously, it's the funniest thing to me. It's like King David in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, he wrote some of the greatest pieces of poetry / scripture that you could ever possibly read, but he was also a brutal killer on the battlefield, and he didn't see any sort of dichotomy between those two things.
Well, is it our values that have softness? And I think
yes. There
is a great case to be made there, but I would say, look at just in the last 200 years, I think people take for granted how much technology and economic progress has allowed them to not have to be certain ways.
I agree completely.
Like, just talking to my grandfather, who's 87, he talks about his parents who were living in a flat with hardly, just they had running water, it was about it. And the way, how rough those people were to each other, to him, to everyone around him, and they weren't unique in that culture. And so we think about things like child labor. It's like, oh, it's because of the unions. It's like, no. It's because they didn't have to anymore.
Yeah.
It's because we created new technologies and became economically prosperous enough where kids didn't have to work anymore on the farm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things with the liberation of women that you can accredit, I think, more to technology than any political movement, though, again, it is both. And I wonder, if that's all stripped away, how quick does some of the worst depravity come back?
Oh, the most civilized people with the most comforts will become the most savage when those things are gone. And I don't mean savage in the sense of, you know, the ability to do violence on a mass scale, but the desire and the ability to lose all moral virtue, to cast aside social mores. And what is it that the Joker said in the Dark Knight? He says, these civilized when the cards are on the table, these civilized people, they'll eat each other. And that's literal. They will literally eat one another.
See, I love that movie, though, because they don't.
They don't, but they will.
Like, yeah,
that's the one.
Eventually,
thing I don't,
they
that's
will,
one thing
yeah.
I don't like about the movie is it does not take human nature into
it's
account.
It's not realistic.
No, not at all.
We got to hit a break here. We'll come back to Soldier Boy and others. But first, this part of the program brought to you by River Region Contracting. And Eddie, you've been working with them recently, right?
Quite a few times, Joey. Quite a few times. They came out, gave me inspections. You know how much they charged me for that inspection?
Hmm.
Zero. Absolutely.
What?
Free. Yep. And they even found some issues. Now, they charged me to fix the issues, but it was a fair price. Right, I was very happy to pay.
Okay, the inspection was free, but how much did the estimate cost?
Whew, I was really worried about that, but it was absolutely free as well.
Whoa!
Even if I chose not to get it repaired, the estimate and the inspection still would have been free.
Well, whether you have a metal roof or an asphalt roof, folks, River Region Contracting can help you out. They're called the premier roofing contractor in this area for good reason. And not only are their inspections and estimates always free, they're also insurance specialists, so they can walk you through that claims process and make it a simple and easy experience. Call them up today, 356-8635. That's 356-8635. And be sure to tell them that Joey and Eddie from News and Views, those fellas on the radio, sent you.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
We've all fallen into boring routines. We just keep doing what has to get done. What I want. Isn't it time to escape the old routine and make time for yourself? Make time to go out with old friends. Make time to add excitement back into your life. Make time to feel like a winner again. Life is more fun when you live it. So what are you waiting for? Escape every day at Wind Creek Casino and on the Casinoverse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
For over 40 years, Headley Plumbing has been fixing the River Region's plumbing problems with fast, affordable service. The pros at Headley are ready to respond anytime you need help, and they charge fair rates for their expert service. They help River Region homes and businesses every day, from repairing leaky faucets, septic tank service, replacing damaged sewer lines, or just unstopping a blocked drain. Trust the experts at Headley Plumbing. Call 285-3667. Headley Plumbing, 285-3667. Remember Headley's motto, in our business, a flush beats a full house.
Headley Metal Buildings has been your source for quality metal buildings in the River Region since 2007. Carports up to 24 feet wide, RV covers, storage buildings, even a sturdy metal barn up to 54 feet wide. Your structure can be customized, installed on level ground, and comes with a 20-year warranty. Let Headley Metal Buildings help you find the perfect solution. Financing available? Call 285-3667 for details or find Headley Metal Buildings on Facebook.
Hey, this is Ray Bowles of Proudville Carpet. And since we've been advertising on Blue Water, our sales have increased dramatically. Blue Water has a large listening audience that is very faithful to their advertisers, and we greatly appreciate that. If you're thinking about advertising for your business, I would highly recommend Blue Water.
Now you can add the power of digital advertising to the number one reach of radio. Let Blue Water's 20 years of local advertising and marketing success show you how. Grow your business with a complete suite of digital solutions combined with the reach of the most listened to radio group in the River Region. Call us or go to BlueWaterBroadcasting.com to find out how we can increase your return on investment. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Earnest Financial.
If you're tired of losing your money in the stock market, call David Earnest, 334-279-7431. Earnest Financial, LLC.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Timing is everything, and the timing for this string of beautiful weather just in time for the Easter weekend couldn't be better. Sunshine today on this Good Friday with a high temperature up to about 74, so very comfortable. Partly cloudy, a little cool tonight, overnight low in the mid-40s. The warm-up continues tomorrow. Saturday's high 79, 83 on Easter Sunday. Abundant sunshine, just about a perfect forecast. And then mid-80s with partial sunshine, still dry Monday. The risk of showers and storms holding off till Tuesday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
For the lowest prices around on flooring and DIY flooring installation supplies, Budget Floors and More is your new best friend. Luxury vinyl plank, carpet, ceramic tile, floor installation supplies, and more with prices lower than the big box stores. Budget Floors and More, Hunter Lane across from Del Rey to Publix.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
As you embark on Prattville Carpet's Mohawk Money Hunt. Somewhere within the city limits of Prattville is the Prattville Carpet Troll Doll. Find it and bring it to Prattville Carpet to win $1,000 in cash. Clues will randomly be dropped every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the Prattville Carpet Facebook page or at PrattvilleCarpet.com. So monitor both to hear the clues fast, find the troll, and be $1,000 richer. Get the gameplay details anytime at PrattvilleCarpet.com or the Prattville Carpet Facebook page.
Prattville Carpet, we're more than just carpet.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Joey Clark.
Mornings in the Afternoon. I'm Joey. He's Eddie.
What's up, Joey?
We also have Craig Monger in the studio here with us. And we have Soldier Boy on line one. Hey, Soldier Boy.
Hey, I just know one thing. I'm not playing Greg Monger any game of Scrabble.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest it.
If Soldier Boy and I talked about this off air. It would take all night because you use such big words. I would have to challenge every dang word you threw down at me.
Right.
It'd take longer than Monopoly.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at words, and Craig puts me in the back.
I am too.
It would be an all night just to get through like three or four hands. So, yeah, I could not play.
Mr. Walking Thesaurus over there, you know?
Believe it or not, I'm actually atrocious at Scrabble.
I don't believe that. That's a hustle, Eddie. Don't take that.
I know. I'm not falling sucker to that. No.
You sandbagging them.
Hey, I want to talk about last week's 60 Minutes show with El Presidente from El Mexico.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, that little taco. Can I say that? That's a Democratic word. I'm sorry. I could not believe the crap he said. First of all, he thinks he runs the country. He's talking about how I run the country and everything. Blah, blah. Yeah. And I was like, dude, what are those gangs over there?
The cartels
are running the show, baby. Yeah, what do you think? 100%. Come on, man. First of all, that's lie number one.
Soldier Boy, I want you to keep going. Hold on to that number two. But I covered this earlier in the week, and I'm enjoying listening to you make the same exact points, and I agree with you. So please keep going. Number two.
Thank you. Second thing is, I liked what he said. He had to have a freaking damn translator. I've been all around this world, and let me tell you something. English is taught in every damn country as a second language.
You know he knows English very well.
He damn well he does. I know some Spanish words too, dude, but you know. That's exactly, thank you, Eddie. That's exactly, kind of look important. Yep. Right? Worry about controlling your damn country and having bodies beheaded, laying over bridges with ropes. Worry about that, pal. Here's the next thing is, I watched videos earlier that his soldiers are just letting them walk through. And he says, I talked to Mr. Let me, Eddie, Joey, do me my Mr. Pretend you're Mr. Trump and I'm talking to you on the phone.
Hey, Soldier Boy, great to talk to you. How are you?
Hey, I just want to tell you, Mr. Trump, Mr. El Trumpo, that the walls do not work. The walls don't work.
The walls, the wall just got 10 feet taller, Amla.
Did you see him say that? I told Mr. Trump on the telephone that the walls would not work.
Is he Middle Eastern?
He's a mix.
He's part Egyptian.
I am here from Mexico, and let me tell you, the wall is not working. It's not working. Let me tell you. Hola, how are you doing? ¿Qué pasa? I'm sorry, Soldier Boy.
You sound like Montana. Let me tell you something. I'm like, you are a hot woman. And now we've got a caravan of 2,000 more coming. Woo-wee. Man. Let me ask you something. He bragged about El Presidente of America, Joe Biden. He bragged about, he did how many on the first day he signed how many presidential, not decrees, but it might as well have been decrees. What are you talking about when the presidential goes past the executive and legislature?
Executive order?
What do you call it when he signs it? Yeah, executive orders. He bragged about how many, 80 or 90 executive orders? But he can't sign one to bring the law up about crossing the border. He doesn't want to bring that one up. Why?
He doesn't have to do an executive order. Mm-hmm. That's like we don't need new laws.
But he could.
Anything.
But he could. He could.
He could, but
make himself look.
He could also just enforce the law. Like, we're just not enforcing the law.
Right, that's
currently.
The part I don't get. We're just not.
And then they hide behind, these are asylees.
Did you notice when Mr. Trump was in office, when he was dealing, he deals from the position of strength, okay, when he deals with El Mexico Presidente, okay? He told him flat out, dude, I'm gonna stop, stop your selling your crap in my country and stuff that I am going to allow. I'm going to tax it so much it's pathetic you're not going to make. He said, you don't want me to do that. And what happened? Oh, I saw Mexican soldiers up there at the border. Now, they're just waving them on through.
It is where we're at, and it's the number one issue for a lot of Americans. Mm-hmm. I'll put it that way.
But didn't Mr. Trump have in between the two enchiladas that he has? He had them right by grabbed him, told him what, Todd, this is what's going to happen, dude.
Yes, yeah, no, Trump got AMLO to kind of back down. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to embargo your crap. I'm going to tax it so much you know, I couldn't be able to make it. I'm not letting X amount of stuff come into our country. Boom, boom, if you don't do this. And the next thing you know, man of action happens. It's the same president, too.
And bing, bang, boom.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then what does he say? He says, didn't he try to, threaten us? Did he threaten us on 60 Minutes?
Yes.
Oh, we need to send billions of